Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I have a friend, a mentor, and one of the most empowered and empowering women I know, Mary Jo Larai, who is going to be a guest today, and she's going to be speaking about that very subject. In fact, Mary Jo started her career, she spent the first 30 years as a stylist, and what does a stylist do but acts as a therapist and listens, and so she first became a professional listener, which led her to becoming a Grace Trainer, which is a workshop that's offered in Los Angeles and throughout other parts of the world. In fact, I think she just led a Grace leadership exercise program and a workshop a couple weeks ago here in Los Angeles. And those workshops are for women, and it's working with them to come home to themselves and have working mind, body, and spirit connection and integration. In addition to leading Grace workshops, MJ also leads, I call her MJ for short, also leads various leadership trainings for both men and women. And part of that program is to develop those who are committed to elevate their skills and helping them to come to their highest and best self. She's essentially a transformational coach who is somebody who I have respected and admired and had the privilege of knowing for, you know, close to probably 10 years now. And I'm very grateful to introduce Mary Jo Larai to you today on the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you so much, MJ. Well, I'm so excited to have you here today. And in preparation for the show, you and I had talked about what we wanted to create today. And what I would love our listeners to get out of today's show is how to own themselves, how to own their femininity, their masculinity, whether it's male or female. I know that in a lot of the Grace workshops that you lead, that I was very privileged to get to attend one several years ago, it's a lot about women, but I don't want the men listeners out there to think that this isn't about them as well. Whether you're male or female, we both have masculinity and femininity within us. And so today we're really going to be talking about how to be empowered in both of those energies and what that looks like. What are some of the things that you want to watch out for, the fallbacks, and what are some of the societal norms when we think about masculine and feminine energy? And teaching our listeners in business as well as personal, how they can own their leadership and own their ability to be great without it having to be either or. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit, MJ, about how it is that you came to empower women?
Thank you so much for that. And I also want to extend a big invitation to the men listeners out there. As Jennifer said, we are going to be talking in conversations more intentionally around women's experience. But indeed, when we deal with masculine, feminine, it is that internal balance of it for each human being that is actually gives us a great level of effectiveness. So men out there, I hope you can hear something that would be valuable to you. And if not, maybe you'll just understand the women in your lives a little bit better.
Which is priceless.
Indeed. Well, like you, and by the way, before I jump into that, can I just say what a thrill that you're making a bigger difference, that you, the difference you make is reaching more people. And the fact that you get, it's not about the paycheck. Yeah, you can get the job, but it's about fulfillment. It's about your biggest self. It's about working in communion so that human beings everywhere, when they have that internal satisfaction and are actually in contribution, then our world starts to become more and more and more the way we see it possible. So really, we want to celebrate you, Jennifer, for being a woman who's willing to stand in either of her powers and also to be so radiant, because you really are a radiant light on this world. So thanks.
Oh, thank you, MJ. I appreciate it. And right back at you. I think that's how we originally connected, is that like attracts like. And the more the light that you generate, the more you want to attract other people who generate light and love in the world. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's not just about getting the job. And this show is not for me. It's not for you. It's for everybody out there who might just need to hear that one little thing that will brighten their day, lift their spirit, and and transform their lives for the better. So I feel privileged to get to have this show every Monday at 4 and to get to have amazing, transformational, inspiring leaders like you on the show.
Great to be your partner in this.
Yes.
Really and truly. And then your question about how I came to empower women, realizing I was one was a very powerful
start.
It happened at about age 11 when I found out I couldn't play skins on the shirts and skins game at school.
I don't even know what that is.
That means you don't wear your top.
Oh, yes. I could imagine as an 11-year-old girl, that probably would not
go
over well in the schoolyard.
Oh, wait, I'm on that team? Okay, thanks for that. Really and truly, the ability to navigate in this world as a woman, and that we are in such a ripe, amazing opportunity for women. And at the same time, it can be a little overwhelming because the having it all conversation has been generations old now. And frankly, it can feel like you're holding a whole lot having it all. So when I began to be ever more in the workforce and be generating my own income and taking care of my own property and being that driven,
self-reliant.
Yeah, exactly. And then wanting also to have relationship and encountering the explorations that I have done, be it theology, spirituality, education, technical, whatever it was, you know, learning always turns me on. So encountering those transformation workshops, which we have shared a couple of them together, and the experiential learning environment is so ripe. So about 10 years ago, I actually attended a workshop here through Mastery in Transformational Training. And in that, caught the bug of what it would be like to be a transformer in my world, in my life, in my community. And then 5 years ago in that work, I encountered the first Grace workshop that came to LA and met that trainer who then became my mentor. Because once I saw what was possible when women act as their own best resource and care and carry and care for themselves that way, what they can actually have in their families, in the workforce, in our community. And I was hooked, and I was whatever it takes so that as many women have this kind of balance of mind, body, spirit that I got to encounter for those 3 days and impact my world at the level it did. So I continued to stay in touch with the trainer, and she became my mentor. And I've worked with her now all over the country, and I'm going to be leaving the country to do a Grace in Peru this year. And
that's amazing.
It's actually a conversation that is now happening globally. So women creating their own community, and not to exclude men, but simply to
embrace them.
Absolutely, and to be in the shared experience so that we can embrace them by not mistaking them for our women tribe.
I know there's a great class with Alison Armstrong. I've obviously had the privilege of doing Grace, and I think Alison says that the issue with women is that women think men are hairy women. And when you understand that men and women are different, and sometimes, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, is apples and oranges, it's not just men are men and women are women. Women and men can have masculine or feminine traits.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's always the issue with male-female relationships. So I'm going to use those terminology when I speak about male-female. It's about man-woman versus masculine-feminine, which actually isn't gender-specific. Mm. It's actually more the description of the tendencies of it. And so, when we kind of jump into what I see as that, I actually use biology to start, but then it's energetic after that.
I know, and it's such a hot topic right now because there are so many ways that we as human beings can identify ourselves, male and female, and so many other ways,
too. Well, isn't that a hot topic right now when it comes just even to the restroom?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Here we're seeing this in North Carolina and other parts of the world, but it's about embracing who you are, whatever that looks like, gay, straight, male, female, transgender, you know, transsexual. It doesn't matter. It's about embracing your femininity and your masculinity within you, which can show up in many different ways. It's like this rainbow of beautiful ways that it's a prism of colors that you could show up as a human being.
Absolutely.
And just embracing it and harnessing that power as you as a human being.
Indeed.
And so tell us what, I know you just touched on an interesting point about male-female versus masculine-feminine. Give me kind of your insights onto what is masculine for you? What is feminine for you?
Without being too graphic.
Okay.
So really and truly, the energy of masculine-feminine, I can go from biology, but then it becomes energetic. So if you think about the way male biology is built, and then describe masculine energy, it's not exclusive to males, but that's where it stems from, that description of. So most places that describe masculine and feminine would say that, even the dictionaries say that it's the tendency of that gender, but it's not necessarily that gender's sole role or sole specific ownership of. So when it comes to masculine, we start from the male root, and you think about biology in nature. What does masculine's job do? It's to be penetrating. It's to be purposeful. It's to be directional. It's that almost more linear kind of
direct.
Putting out there, direct, put it forward. And again, using biology, and I know this sounds like, really? But yeah, really. When you think about conception, the male role is to put everything they have into one single purpose.
Oh my gosh, what a brilliant way to explain it. I never thought of that before.
Everything goes to
single
all
focused.
The drive, single focus, and whatever it takes, and everything else falls away. So that's very much in that we assume that's the male characteristic, but in fact it's masculine, but you can see why it stems from male.
And something you touched on the other day in preparation when we were speaking about this that really helped me understand the masculine and feminine is I think you used the example of the skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, let me just touch into a little bit about the feminine, and
okay,
then I use
course.
The body as
yeah.
the whole example, because the skeleton
pulls it all together.
Pulls it all together, yeah, exactly. And in feminine, again, I'm going to go with biology, but starting with female and then go into the energy, is when you look at what the female's built to do, it is flexible, fluidity, flow. It's working with environment. It's creating safe harbor, safe space. It's the opening.
And because you need that space in order to create life.
Absolutely. And talk about flexibility, you know? I mean, if I can get a human being to come out of me, then I must be pretty flexible.
Good analogy.
So then when you look at that as the two kind of energies, masculine and feminine, then I use the body itself in general to look at the harmony of masculine and feminine. So when you look at the skeleton, and I love that that resonated for you, because
I
like to keep it simple so that it resonates for people to have something to kind of fall back on in those moments when they want to try and bring this forth again and connect with it. So if you look at the body, the skeleton masculine, linear, directional, rigorous, okay, you can almost feel it by just the way we're describing it.
Not very flexible, otherwise it breaks.
That's right, correct. And then the soft tissue, the tendons, the ligaments, the muscles, that being the feminine, being the flexible, the flow, to be able to working with the environment. And then here's what's so great. If you take either one away, the other one becomes immobile.
I love that. I remember you said that to me. I believe it was the other day. And it's so true, is that it's the yin and the yang. It's
the light
and the darkness. You've got to have both to have it work.
And so bones can't go anywhere without the soft tissue. And without the bones, the soft tissue just becomes a puddle on the floor. So if they start to work together internally, then we get to start working together with it externally. And then the sky's the limit.
And then, yeah, it's once you have the yin and the yang, once you've mastered the masculine and the feminine, then you're unstoppable because you have the two life force energies that make us who we are. So I would love to get your insights on how those two masculine and feminine energies can play out in your career or business.
Yeah. I'll say to the, in the mastering of it, I think about it being in relationship. It's relational. So if I'm in deep relationship with both sides of myself, masculine and feminine, and this is coming from a woman, that I do tend to be in roles where my masculine is required. Being a leader requires some of my masculine energy, being able to stand in front of a room and facilitate, being able to support and be vision-driven. My masculine gets to be pretty aware, pretty vocalized.
Pretty prominent.
yeah, absolutely. And again, without that harmonizing of it together, then it becomes, there's a lot of wear and tear because I'm out of sync, I'm out of balance. So that, again, that harmonizing it to bring it to life in the workforce requires a relationship with both, masculine and feminine. So if you have a relationship with both, then you have greater choices given any set circumstances or scenario that comes your way, so you can choose for effectiveness sake. So instead of, I got to do this, because that's what's required if I'm going to be ba 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 ba. No, I'm going to stop, check in. Okay, you know what would be best here? And move it going forward. And for the women out there, like the conversations that I hear that come in the training room all the time, and I know you're familiar with this because you're in the workforce with it all the time. Women have a conversation that sounds like, I got to be a bitch to get ahead.
Oh, gosh, I've heard that so often, and I made that mistake in business. To anybody who worked with me in the first 2 years I was operating, I apologize. Please forgive me. I was like, because I had it. I thought that the only way to get things done was to be a tough ass, and because that's how I had seen male counterparts do it, or other successful, quote-unquote, female women. And we hear it a lot in the workplace, too, of some of often the biggest rainmakers or female executives. People don't want to work with them because they're afraid of them, because there's that lack of softness and approachability. And so I had to take a 180-degree complete opposite view, and it took a lot of work on my own femininity. And now that I've been working on that, my company is 10 times more successful than when I was trying to force things, like you said earlier, just trying to force and direct energy. And because but like you said, you need a little bit of both. There are times that are called for that does require the masculine energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that I've got to be a bitch to get ahead. I want to start first by acknowledging the first women that came into the workforce.
Oh, I can't imagine. Or the women who fought for the right to vote, or all the women out there.
When we go back to when we entered the workforce and what it was like, and those that had to break through in order for us to be able to have what we have access to today.
Have careers.
And granted, believe me, I know, and I can hear you out there that are already going, but we got a long way to go. And I'm not here to say that we're arrived, but I'm saying if we look back at where we came from,
We've come far
with opportunities today that we did not have. So when it came time for us to enter the workforce, the only model we knew was men. So women started to imitate men, and that became our version of what is masculine. And it's actually not accurate, because it's us imitating men, not tapping into our masculine. So I celebrate the groundbreakers, and now that we are in an evolutionary process like we are in life today, I just want to invite women to start to have a responsibility relationship with your assets, because they're abundant. They're huge. There's so much untapped, really. So if you're willing to develop those assets in a responsible way, then again, your toolbox becomes full. Your ability to respond and create in the workforce becomes ever richer, because you have more freedom of choice rather than, I have to do this in order to have that.
Yeah, it's less reactive and more proactive. And I think you hit on a really good point earlier, is any of the transformational work that I've done, whether it was Grace, MITT, Landmark, it all came down to choice. And the minute you give yourself access to choice, and you realize that in any circumstance, you don't just have to react to the circumstance, that you actually get to pause and, like you said, say, what's going to best serve me now? Should I pull from my masculine? Should I pull from my feminine? Does it call for both?
Absolutely. So when you think about the workforce, this isn't the only kinds of places, but these are just some examples of when you want to access which ones. Which can be most effective. So when you think about directional, purposeful, really on point, and you could feel that energy, again, feel the skeleton, that's definitely that energy of setting deadlines, doing whatever it takes, being able to say no when no is required.
Ah, yes. As a woman, I struggle with that.
No, I'll bet you do.
I just want to say yes to everything.
Can I give you a little piece, a little gift around
yes,
that?
Yes, please. I say yes to everything, and I never even see my husband, because he's like, your schedule's too full.
I got a gift, and again, from Krista Petty, my mentor, that rather than to get caught up in the no and the energy that comes around that I have to say no to something, what is the bigger yes that I'm saying yes to by saying this no?
Ooh, I love that. Can you say that again? Because that was so powerful.
I'm saying no to say yes to a bigger yes. So when I stay connected to that bigger yes, the no can actually become easy. And I set a stretch for myself and said one of the hardest no's I had to say. And the person turned around and said, I love you too.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's pretty powerful. I could see how there's a lot of power in a no. And I think when you're really in the feminine, or when you're taught as a woman, you're supposed to say yes and do it all and juggle everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that, whether it's men or women who are really harnessing their masculine energy, they're really concise and direct in what they can give their attention to. Like my husband, I admire that a lot. Mm-hmm. He will not say yes to me if he can. He won't even say yes to me for vacations that are planned in 2 weeks. I'll be like, I'll get back to you on that. I can't. I don't know yet if I can commit to that, which drives me mad, but I admire him for it at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that ability to say no, because you're focused on the vision. You're focused on the goal. That gives that permission and gives you that strength of being able to say no, because masculine cuts away what doesn't serve.
Masculine cuts away. Yeah, it's interesting. In the Alison Armstrong class, she talks about how men, over millions of years of evolution, however long we've been on the planet, they actually are single-focused hunters for many years. That's what they were put here on the planet for, was to protect, provide, and procreate, and that they're single-focused. And you'll see that a lot in business, where men will say, and to the point, and get to the point, whereas women, because we were gatherers for millions of years of evolution, we used to say, oh, why don't we talk about this? And she explained it really well in the class. She said that women have to be so exact in our details to one another to make sure we don't pick the wrong berries. But for men, all they care about is the hunt and getting down and getting, dragging the carcass back
if
to feed the village.
I've got to kill it.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And while the time we're sitting at the fire face to face and taking care of the children,
the
and
infants,
tanning the hides and cooking the food and berries we've gathered, we also got to make sure the fire doesn't go out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Diverse or diffuse attention.
Diffuse attention. Exactly. Exactly. When it comes to feminine in the workplace, those places that are ripe and effective to call that forth, very much in the relationship, so relating to another. So when you think of the fluidity of water, when water comes to a rock in the stream, it doesn't stop and say, rock, you must move. What does it do?
It moves around it,
it
over
goes
it,
around
under it,
it. But does it still get to where it's going?
Yes.
Absolutely. And now suddenly the rock just becomes part of the path. So there is that flexibility. So to be able to relate to, so oftentimes when delegating, it's actually great to call upon that feminine energy, because it's partnership, it's relationship building, it's flexibility. Anytime that there's a change in direction of vision, a time to regroup and say, this isn't working, here's where we're headed to now. That level of flexibility, it's really great to live into more of that feminine energy. And I do want to say, either of these case scenarios, masculine or feminine, vision should always be your compass. Mm-hmm. So when you think about which one's going to be most effective, connecting to the vision, then you get to choose. Because like you said it so well, if you want to be effective, it's not about getting what's in front of me done. It's about what's getting in front of me done well, so that my vision
can sustain itself.
Absolutely.
And come to fruition.
Absolutely.
And so you just hit on some important points. I will always remember what you just said about the no and for a bigger yes. I think that was really brilliant. What are some unhealthy ways that, you know, femininity and masculinity can show up? What are things that cautionary tales you might tell some of our listeners?
Yeah, well, you know, my mother used to say, and she was brilliant in many, many ways, and she was always very pithy, and she would say, there is no vice that isn't a virtue taken to extreme. So most of the thing, when you look at something that is unhealthy, it's something that's just been done too much or overdone. So when you think about the rigor of masculine, when it's overdone, it becomes rigid. And like you said, not flexible, could break.
Hmm.
So oftentimes the unhealthy is simply an overabundance of
masculine or feminine.
Exactly. So for masculine, that is, rather than being powerful, they become forceful. Rather than being leading, they become dominating.
Or tyrannical.
Absolutely. And when they are so single-focused that they see nothing else, then they can become a bit of that kind of steamroller. So when you describe women in the workforce that people don't want to work with, they've become so in tune to that single focus, they have forgotten what else could be there, and it becomes that unhealthy. So it's an attachment versus a commitment kind of situation.
Hmm. Okay. So letting go of, and that's one of the most important things in business that I've ever learned, is being committed but not attached to an mm-hmm. outcome. And I think that's when I really learned how to be masculine but still embrace the feminine, is there's nothing wrong with being committed to an outcome or an intention, but without having the attachment to it, because the moment you become attached to it, it's that overabundance of masculinity, and then you're setting yourself up for disappointment and failure because there's no femininity present that's going to allow a more malleable outcome and a happier circumstance if for some reason the intended outcome doesn't go as planned.
Yeah, or that the actual characteristic itself has gotten so overblown that there's not room.
Yeah, and you can get in trouble, I would imagine, on the feminine side, too, of getting too, you know, it's like a pendulum, too much on one side or too much on another.
Absolutely, because then it becomes, and we've all heard the descriptions, too unstable or wishy-washy or passive, because the flexibility and the flow becomes so non-directional that it's now not purpose, you know, it has no connection to
purpose.
It's
like the stream overflowing over the top of the
edge
of the banks.
So instead of it actually going to a goal, now it becomes just spilling out over the sides and it gets spent. So it doesn't happen effectively. Then it becomes that conversation of, well, where do you want to go? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? I don't know.
And a lot of men, that drives them crazy in personal as well as professional relationships, is they do want a woman who's going to be accommodating to a certain extent, but without having to be, you know, a doormat that they're going to walk all over. And in fact, in another class that I did with Allison that I loved, she talked about, to be a queen in your life, you need to have three things. You need to be the nurturer, which is great because we all need that. You know, to be nurturing towards others, you need to have, you know, the sex kitten side and be somebody who your significant other is going to find desirable. But the last one that a lot of women miss professionally as well as personally is the queen. And that means boundaries and creating healthy boundaries, like you had mentioned earlier, of knowing when to say no. And in business, being able to be feminine and still say, that doesn't work for me, or I do want to go here, and just being clear in your communication.
Mm-hmm. Women have conversations again about the yes and the no, and one of the prompts I use is just check in, and where are you saying no where you mean yes? And where are you saying yes when you mean no? And don't beat yourself up for it. Don't make it so overwhelming. But if you were to simply just sit down and let yourself take a look at that, there might be some new choices you want to make.
I could see that being extremely powerful. It's just really, I think it all comes down to being in tune with yourself, being in tune with the masculine and the feminine, and just asking yourself, is this for my highest and best good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So something I can offer those that are listening is a way to tap into where yours currently is.
Oh, that's great.
To make a list of, you know, what do you love about men? What do you hate about men? What do you love about women? What do you hate about women? And then check in with your lists and see if they fall in masculine or feminine, healthy or unhealthy.
So on that, what can you do to create healthy relationships to masculine and feminine?
Developing nourishment for both sides. So if it's not your wheelhouse, if the masculine's not your wheelhouse, making decisions, living into your commitment, taking the consequences for the actions, then that's a place to call forth to start practicing. And don't go out right now and start by, you know, buying a company. Like, start by how you do your workouts.
Baby steps.
Start with how you are doing your own health, how you're creating relationships. For you, you brought it up, and I know it's humorous because you really do balance a ton. I mean, your plate is big. And for those of you, if you've never met Jennifer, please go to the website right now so you can see her picture, because she looks like that all the time. She looks like that all the time. So you balance self-care, marriage, professional. You are so involved with the community, so involved with charity, so involved with bettering others. So all of that, like, there's things that are already working in our lives. So can we tap into those places where we can feed and nourish what's already working? And another way for developing healthy is notice where it's being overdone, where it's wearing thin, where the gears are starting to grind, because that's where the virtue is about to turn into a vice.
Yeah, I love that point.
Without sustainability, we don't last. It won't work. If you don't grease the wheels, they can only run for so long. So developing practices that will support masculine and feminine. And again, don't think you got to start from scratch. Take a look at your life right now, and where is it already working? Like, if you know that once a month
thriving
girls group that you get together feed your spirit, well, welcome to feeding that part of you. If you know that, again, developing a workout program, that's your masculine side. That's fantastic. You want to see them in harmony? Yoga class. You got to get masculine just to get your butt in there and to be determined. And then you get to be feminine in meeting your body where it's at. And when you see the teacher put her foot over your head and that's not where you're at, being willing to say, okay, but that's where I could be if I want to be.
Yeah.
So developing it starts first with recognize where it's already working, and then listen deeply about where needs to get fed, where needs to get nourished, where needs to get fertilized in order for me to have healthy on both sides.
To have your highest and best self. And what you just touched on is a really important point that I think helped me as a businesswoman when I did this queen class, is they talk about filling your buckets. And we all have things, like for you, you just mentioned that some people it might be a girls' weekend or a girls' night. Mm-hmm. For me, it's taking a bath. Like for me, I know I have to get in at least one bath once a week. I have to get a massage once a week. And I appreciate your acknowledgement of how much I take on, but I also take way better care of myself than 99% of the people I know out there, because you have to have that space to take care of yourself. If it's reading a book, taking a bath, whatever it is that fills your spirit, as you said, it's important to check in with yourself and to be able to nourish that side of yourself.
So I invite women to, before you add something else to your to-do list, okay, so how do I do this? How do I do this? That's the question I get asked the most. How do I do this? And it becomes part of that teetering pile that they've created for themselves.
That's overwhelming.
Absolutely. So in order to try and unravel the to-do list, you don't need another to-do. So that's why I say the opening, the invitation is look to see what's already working and then listen to see where might need some attention. If you are not in a regular practice with self-care, and that physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So that's a place to check in. And this isn't about going away for 6 weeks or meditating for 10 hours. This is about simply what would be something that you could give yourself regularly. And then I love the word practice. And
practice.
I say this all the time. They call it a practice.
For a reason.
Not a got it perfectly.
Because
if
like
they called
that.
It a got it perfectly, then we'd all want to just blow our brains out. It's a practice because there's really never an ending. There's not an accomplishment. There's not a finish line to it. You're always practicing, and you're practicing for development. You're practicing for consistency. You're practicing so that you can bring yourself to it and meet yourself there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why, you know, every woman is different, and just getting to know yourself and spending time in reflection, whether it's yoga, meditation, even just taking a few minutes away if you have kids or a family or whatever life may look like for you, and just having quiet and mindfulness in that moment. And, it sounds almost impossible.
So, you know what? I literally heard all the working moms start laughing just now.
They're like a moment.
Yep. So it can be. What are you listening to in your car?
Ah, yes.
It can be. What do you do when you're waiting in line at Starbucks or the grocery store? Like, what would feed you in those moments, as well as what I call the hour of power? And it's the hour, and it doesn't always end up being an hour, but it is that time that I devote to myself some point during the day for restoration. Because again, when women become responsible for being their own best resource, we are our own best resource. There's nothing better for us to support us out there than us.
Than a healthy us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and I'm even going to break it down into, don't wait, you don't have to be healthy to be your own best advocate. You don't. You are your own resource. You get yourself up every day. You put nourishment in your body or not. You take care of what happens in your life. And then as you start to respect that, and be responsible as a resource. Like, how do you take care of your car?
Yeah, and you have to make sure to change the oil.
Absolutely. And then not to do it perfectly.
And I think that's the thing, too, is I have heard and read a lot of articles about how often women say, I'm sorry, compared to your average man. And it's especially the words I am are some of the most powerful words that you can utter. And so to say, I am sorry, and constantly being apologetic for not being a good enough mom, not being a good enough businesswoman.
Oh, yeah.
We all find, and I catch myself even writing business emails to clients and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I screwed this up, etc., where a masculine counterpart might not do that, masculine counterpart being male or female, but somebody who is just owning their intentionality there. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to be apologetic for your actions. There's a way that I think people who are in their masculine, being male or female, can take responsibility for their actions and be like, oh, that's not what I was committed to. Got it. We'll change and we'll do it this way, without having to always be apologetic and blame yourself or others.
Yeah. And why anytime you enter into the blame game? So when there's apology required, being in ownership is what it's about. If it is, it should have been different, or I should have been different, then that's a different conversation. And that's worth exploring internally rather than externally. Absolutely. And that development of, and I love the way you said that, the I'm sorry, the I should be, the compartmentalization that women face. And I have a lot of people involved in my life, and I have people that count on me. And to support all of the beings that I am supporting in my life currently, it does require me to hold a lot. So what I am practicing and what I'm offering other women is, rather than dividing yourself up into the many facets of your life, mother, sister, daughter, career, lover, wife, community impactor, what if we expanded out into them rather than chopping ourselves up? So rather than compartmentalizing, how can those parts of each other feed each other?
Cohesively.
Yeah, so that they can, how do I become a better lover by being better at business? It's possible, if I'm open to those things connecting. And one of the things I want to invite the conversation around being a bitch, ask yourself this question, and just let yourself hear the answer for yourself. What's the difference between being a bitch and being bold?
That's a really interesting question. I think that it's all the context and perspective. I will tell you from my standpoint, and I would love to get your two cents on this, I think that there's a way to be bold and have others still be empowered. And for me, when I think of being a bitch, it means to me that you're doing it at the effect of other people's well-being and happiness, as opposed to having both parties be empowered and empowering in the conversation.
So what I love about that is not only is that a rich guideline to use, but it's an insight into who you are. So when we ask ourselves these questions, it's not to get the answer right, it's to meet ourselves there. And when you hear Jennifer talk, you know that her world has others in it. Like, it's not from an I-driven place, it's from an us-driven place. And that's fantastic. And if you see that now, that I can turn that energy on and I can be bold in it, I can be bold in what I stand for, I can be bold in what I'm up to in this world, I can be bold in how much I earn and how much time it takes me to earn it, then I'm for something. But if I've got to be a bitch to get it, then I'm defending something, so I'm against something. I'm against being held small. I'm against that what's expected to me. I'm against of I've got to fight against. And then that tends to be that, again, poor imitation of masculine.
Ah, that makes perfect sense. And I can see where even me as a human being, I've done that in the past. And for any of the listeners out there, tune in and check Sam's show that I did a couple weeks ago. I wasn't always this way. And Mary Jo, MJ, has known me long enough to know that I have had my series of faults. And it's only through years of self-development and introspection and meditation, among other things. And for each of us out there, it's different. But I don't want any of you to think that I just woke up and was like, oh, everything is rose petals and fairy dust and everyone.
She came out of a little flower in a garden in a burst of glitter.
Did.
Just like she did. Just like she is.
Exactly. Everything is a burst of glitter. But in reality, just so we, as women, we also tend to compare ourselves. Like, oh my gosh,
yes.
I'm not good enough. And one of the most powerful things I learned as a human being, be it male or female, there's no power in comparison. So sometimes when I'm coaching people over the phone, when I'm preparing them for an interview, they'll say, oh, Jennifer, I wish you could just go in and do the interview for me. But it's not about me. It's about you owning your own greatness and owning your own capacity to be empowered and empowering in any conversation. And that journey to get you there is going to look different for every person, but it doesn't mean your journey is any more or less perfectly designed for you than mine was. Mm-hmm. And so when you can get there, the biggest difference is once you come from a place of empowerment, coming from the masculine and the feminine at all times, I think the biggest difference is that moment of pause. My vocal coach teaches me that all the time. And so when it comes down to just allowing pause, like MJ started the show by saying, choice. It all comes down to pausing and making a choice and then bringing self-awareness to any choice that you make.
So I want to invite you in that pause to connect to the breath, because the breath is actually the balance of masculine and feminine, because feminine receives and it lives on the inhale. Masculine, purposeful, lives on the exhale. So right now, even right now in this moment, if you're listening, just connect to your breath and feel the harmony of masculine and feminine that you're experiencing right now in your breath. So when you are feeling yourself on that verge of reaction, take that pause, like Jennifer said, and connect to the breath to remind yourself that you're a balance of all, and choose what would best support you in responding, and then using that to create what you want. Because in that, that's your power. That's your moment. And often when we take that breath and we stop and we breathe in the gift of life and we exhale our contribution to the gift, in that moment, we may notice where the wear and tear is wearing us down and where we need to be refreshed and nourished. And we may notice where it's time to let go. We may notice where we're hungry for or ready to put down with. And in that moment, it really can be a moment if you bring yourself there in a breath, like you said, so that you can choose response versus reaction.
Yeah, and that's been the biggest lesson for me as an entrepreneur, a business owner, as a manager, is years ago, I was a terrible manager because I would get frustrated about X or Y, and I would respond reactively via email, and that's the worst you can do. By the way, all caps is never going to do anybody any favors.
It doesn't get read faster? It doesn't get more attention?
No,
are you sure?
I am absolutely positive. All caps only ends in tears for everybody involved. I learned that lesson many times early on in my management career. But even if you can send an email to yourself, sometimes if you're ever upset or angry with yourself, with a manager, with somebody else in business, it doesn't matter who it is. If you just allow a breath, just like MJ said, and get present to that, and even if you're still feeling a bit reactive, don't respond. Or if you do respond, send an email to yourself. That's one of my favorite techniques nowadays in business. What used to be that all caps email that I would send out to God knows who, and if you ever received one, I do apologize for it, then I would send it to myself, and then I would look back and go, wow, my consciousness there was not where I was intending to come from, and I'm so grateful that I took that moment to pause and that I didn't actually say those words or send that email. And like MJ said, it gives you your power back just to allow that breath and to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Well, MJ, you have been delightful to have on the show, and we're getting close to wrapping up here. So I want to make sure that all of our listeners know how to find you, where they can find out more about Grace or some of these amazing leadership trainings that you offer. The people who want to fly to Peru can join you in Peru.
Fantastic. I really want to get like a bat symbol, like an MJ symbol I can throw up on the sky.
Oh, that would be
amazing.
And
I do love that you call me MJ still.
It is.
It's only family calls me MJ, so I love that's still alive for us. So I'm at maryjolauride.com, and that's a direct way to get in touch with me. There's also my presence on Facebook. I am part of the coalition called Boldly Embody Life. So boldlyembodylife.com, and Krista Petty is the founder of that. She is was my mentor, still is my mentor, and my partner. And it is a global community for people that are ready to live full expression, to live life by design rather than default.
That's wonderful. And I know the other program that I know I've participated in and that you lead workshops and leadership trainings for, it's the MITT. What does that acronym stand for?
Mastery in Transformational Training. And they also have a website, MITTrainings.com. And all the trainings that they offer are listed there. They all happen right here in Los Angeles. It's a powerful community, and it's a great resource.
And where, I know you're doing these amazing workshops for women on owning their femininity, and you're working on this great book. Are you able to say anything about what people could expect from these workshops, or say anything about the book? We have two more minutes if you want to share
something. Sure. So I feel like I'm just like, lowering my shirt so you can see my bra strap as a little teaser. That it's called The Pleasure Dare, and it's my dare to women to be advocates and masterful in their own pleasure in life. So not just the physical pleasure, although that's a great way to start, but also how to tap into and use pleasure as a resource and an energy source for creating in your life, even in the workplace, even in your PTA, even in your home life that's beyond the bedroom. So that's what's coming next.
Oh, amazing. Well, it has been absolutely delightful to have Mary Jo Lurie on the show today, Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And I do invite each of you to tune in next Monday at 4. Another one of my dear friends who is a peer of mine who taught me how to future talk. In fact, you're going to want to tune in next week because this man has future talked himself into being on the standby list for Richard Branson's private jet, as well as lunch with Obama and many other things. And he was recently written up in Forbes magazine as the top 30 people under the age of 30 to watch out for. His name is Joey Primani. He will be joining us on the show next Monday at 4 p.m. and we'll be talking to you about how to future talk your way into your next job. So thank you again for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and our special guest today, Mary Jo Lurie, and we look forward to having you tune in next week. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.